같아요. 네.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد then to continue with الأصول الثلاثة the three principles of Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah with the explanation of Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan hafidhahullah. Then we were on the second initial treatise at the beginning of the book, and last time we had the point which is the second point of the three, which is obligatory upon every Muslim male and female to know. The second point was أن الله لا يرضى أن يشرك معه في عبادته أحد لا ملك مقرب ولا نبي مرسل. The second point, that Allah is not pleased that anyone should be associated along with him in his worship, neither any angel drawn close nor any prophet sent. So just as a quick summary of what we had, then Shaykh al-Fawzan, amongst the things that he mentioned, was the point that if shirk, this of course shows us the obligation of worshipping Allah alone, of worshipping Allah, and of making our worship purely and sincerely for Allah, of worshipping Allah alone, and not committing any shirk. And that if shirk is found along with ibadah, if shirk is found along with worship, then that ibadah, that worship, is rendered null and void. It's rendered null and void from the person. And that the person's worship, his ibadah, will only count as worship, ibadah, if that person is upon tawheed, not upon shirk. Otherwise, his worship will be null and void. And that having iman, believing in Allah, is not sufficient until the person rejects at-taghut, rejects all the false objects of worship. And the point that it does not make any difference whether the one who is associated in worship in Allah, whoever it is, it will make no difference. The ruling will be the same. Anything or anyone is associated along with Allah in worship, then that is shirk, and the person's worship will not be accepted, whether it be an angel drawn close, or a prophet, or anyone less than that. It will not be accepted, it will be shirk. And in this there is a refutation of those who say we take the dead beloved servants of Allah, the awliya of Allah, we direct certain acts towards them, acts of devotion towards them, or to draw us closer to Allah, that we only take them as intercessors with Allah, that we do certain acts of worship towards them, not to worship them in themselves, but so that they will draw us closer to Allah. Shaykh al-Fawzan makes this very clear. This argument of the people of shirk is exactly the same argument as the people in the times of ignorance. It's exactly the same argument. For those people in the times of ignorance, they did not believe that those things which they directed worship to were lords besides Allah, were creators besides Allah, gave provision besides Allah. They did not believe any of that. Rather, they said as their excuse, مَا نَعْبُدُهُمْ إِلَّا لِيُقَرِّبُونَ إِلَى اللَّهِ زُلْفَى. We only direct worship towards them so that they will draw us closer to Allah. So the argument is the same and the ruling is the same. Then the Imam, Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah, he continues, having mentioned this point, he gives the evidence. And he says, in what occurs on page 56, of the Lebanese edition, on page 44 of the Egyptian print, وَالدَّلِيلُ قَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى وَأَنَّ الْمَسَاجِدَ لِلَّهِ فَلَا تَدْعُوا مَعَ اللَّهِ أَحَدًا. Al-Ayah in Surah Al-Jinn. He said, and the proof is his saying, He the Most High, وَأَنَّ الْمَسَاجِدَ لِلَّهِ فَلَا تَدْعُوا مَعَ اللَّهِ أَحَدًا. Meaning, and that the places of prayer are to be for Allah alone. So do not invoke anyone along with Allah. And that the places of prayer are to be for Allah alone, so do not invoke, do not call upon, do not worship, do not pray to anyone along with Allah. Before going into the explanation of Shaykh al-Fawzan, just with regard to that ayah, and the great Mufassir Muhammad ibn Jarir al-Tabari, he explains that this ayah, which is the 18th ayah of Surah al-Jinn, the 72nd surah, this being ayah 18, in meaning this ayah is connected to the first ayah. The meaning is a continuation from the first ayah. First ayah being, قُلْ أُوحِيَ إِلَيَّ أَنَّهُ اسْتَمَعَ نَفَرٌ مِّنَ الْجِنِّ. With the explanation, say, it has been revealed to me that a group of the jinn listened. And they listened to the revelation, they listened to the Qur'an being recited by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the meaning of this ayah is connected, meaning, and it has also been revealed to me, أَنَّ الْمَسَاجِدَ وَأَنَّ الْمَسَاجِدَ لِلَّهِ فَلَا تَدْعُوا مَعَ اللَّهِ أَحَدًا. And it has also been sent by revelation to me that the places of prayer are to be for Allah alone, so do not invoke anyone along with Allah. As another small side point, then Al-Baghawi and Ibn Kathir mention, and some of the other scholars mention, that the word وَأَنَّ الْمَسَاجِدْ, this word masajid, there are two explanations of the scholars for this word. The first of them is that it is masajid, the plural of masjid. The well-known word, masajid, masjid, the places of the prayer. In the places of prayer. And the second is that this word masajid is the plural of masjad, which means those parts of the body which perform sajda, which perform prostration. Obviously, both these meanings falling into what is correct. And then the explainers such as Al-Baghawi explain, mean that the seven bones of the body, which the Prophet ﷺ mentioned, have to perform sajda. And finally, before moving into the explanation of Shaykh al-Fawzan, then Shaykh Ubaid al-Jabiri, hafidhahullah, he said in explanation of this ayah, Al-Masajid means the places of the prayer. The places of the prayer are to be for Allah alone. So he said the places means the places of the prayer. Whether they be buildings or pieces of land which do not contain a building. And they are called masajid, literally places of sajda. They're called these places of prayer for them. They're called literally places of sajda, places of prostration. Because they are places where prostration, sajda, is performed. And the sajda, the sujood, is the most noble one of the pillars of the prayer and the greatest one of it. And that's why the places of prayer, the mosques, are called masajid, places of sajda. As for the explanation of Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan, hafidhahullah, then he said, in explanation of this point, Allah is not pleased, as we said, being on page 56, page 44 of the Egyptian edition, Allah is not pleased that anyone should be associated with him, no matter who it is. And this is clear. This is sarih. This is stated clearly in the book and in the sunnah. However, to one who uses the intellect and who thinks carefully, it's very clear in the book, this matter is very clearly stated in the Quran and in the sunnah. But it will be very clear to a person who uses his intellect and yatadabbar, he who thinks carefully. And who discards at taqlidul a'ma, and discards blind following. And the use of false and futile excuses. And who is alert to his own benefit. Then Shaykh Fawzan said, and the proof that Allah is not pleased that anyone else besides him should be associated with him, no matter who it is his saying, He the Most High, the ayah. وَأَنَّ الْمَسَاجِدَ لِلَّهِ فَلَا تَدْعُوا مَعَ اللَّهِ أَحَدًا. with the explanation, and that the places of prayer are to be for Allah alone, so do not invoke anyone along with Allah. Shaykh Fawzan said, Al-Masajid, the mosques, are the houses of Allah. And they are the places which are prepared for the salah, for the prayer. And they are the most beloved of places to Allah. The mosques, they are the most beloved of places to Allah. And as a side point here, then, the Shaykh Hafidhullah is indicating what occurs in the hadith reported by Muslim, as hadith 671, from narration of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أحب البلاد إلى الله مساجدها وأبغض البلاد إلى الله أسواقها. That the most beloved places upon the earth to Allah are its mosques, and the most hated of the places upon the earth to Allah are its marketplaces. So Shaykh al-Fawzan, therefore, so he said, speaking about the mosques, the masajid, and they are the most beloved of places to Allah. And they are houses which Allah has commanded should be raised, and in which His name should be mentioned. Then, these mosques, these masajid, must be made a place for the worship of Allah alone. Nothing for other than Allah must occur within them. So graves are not to be built in them, nor tombs. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam cursed those who did that. And he informed that this is the practice of the Jews and the Christians. And he forbade us from that. At the end of his life, whilst he was in the throes of death, alayhi salatu wassalam, with his saying, whilst he was dying, he said, أَلَا إِنَّ مَنْ كَانَ قَبْلَكُمْ كَانُوا يَتَّخِذُونَ الْقُبُورَ مَسَاجِدٍ. He said, indeed, those who came before you used to take the graves as places of prayer. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, he said this whilst he was dying. Whilst he was actually dying. أَلَا فَلَا تَتَّخِذُوا الْقُبُورَ مَسَاجِدْ فَإِنِّي أَنْهَاكُمْ أَنْ ذَلِكَ. Indeed, do not take the graves as places of prayer, for I certainly forbid you from that. In a footnote, they mention this hadith is reported by Muslim as hadith 532 from a hadith of Jundub ibn Abdullah al-Bajali radiallahu anhu. And Shaykh al-Fawzan quotes a further evidence. He said, and he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, La'natullahi ala al-Yahudi wa al-Nasara ittakhadhu qubura anbiya'ihim masajid. Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah's curse is upon the Jews and the Christians. They took the graves of their prophets as places of prayer. In a footnote they mention, reported by Al-Bukhari, as hadith 435 and 436, and by Muslim, as hadith 531, from a hadith of Aisha and of Ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhu. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, so the masajid, the mosques, it is obligatory that they be purified from traces of shirk and idolatry, and that they not be built upon graves, and they not be built upon the graves, nor should the dead be buried in them after they have been built. Rather, they should be places for the worship of Allah alone. The prayer should be established in them, and the name of Allah should be mentioned in them, and the Quran should be recited in them, and beneficial lessons should be established in them. and people should remain in them for worship. This is the role of the mosques. As for having idols, objects of worship besides Allah in them. As for having in them awthan, idols which are worshipped besides Allah, then these are not mosques. In such places where there are other things which are worshipped besides Allah, these are not masajid, these are not mosques. These are mashahid, mashahidu shirk. These are shrines of shirk, even if their people call them masajid, even if their people call them mosques. Because Allah says, وَأَنَّ الْمَسَاجِدَ لِلَّهِ. The same ayah, the explanation, and that the mosques, the places of prayer, are for Allah. Shaykh Farzan said, meaning, not for anyone else besides him. And because the mosques, they are the place where the people gather and meet, so it is obligatory that they should be pure and free of shirk and bid'ah innovations and khurafat, false superstitions. Because the people acquire knowledge in them and worship. So if anything from shirk and false superstitions are found in the mosques, then they, the people, will be influenced by that, and they will propagate it upon the earth. So therefore it is obligatory that the mosques should be purified from shirk. And the greatest of them, the greatest one of them, and the greatest one of all the mosques, is Al-Masjid Al-Haram, is the sacred mosque. It's the mosque in Mecca. Mosque in Mecca. And the greatest of them is the sacred mosque. Just as Allah, the Mighty and Majestic, or rather he said, just as Allah, the Majestic and Most High, commanded that it should be purified. We refer to God to the sacred mosque in Mecca. Allah the Most High, Allah the Majestic and Most High, commanded that it be purified. He the Most High said, وَإِذْ بَوَّأْنَا لِإِبْرَاهِيمَ مَكَانَ الْبَيْتِ أَنْ لَا تُشْرِكْ بِي شَيْئًا وَطَهِّرْ بَيْتِيَ لِلطَّائِفِينَ وَالْقَائِمِينَ وَالرُّكَّعِ السُّجُودِ. Surah Al-Hajj, the 22nd Surah, Ayah 26, with the explanation, and remember when we showed the site for the house, and remember when we showed the site for the house to Ibrahim and commanded him that you should not associate anything along with me, and purify my house for those people who are performing tawaf, and for those who are standing in prayer and performing the bowing and the prostration. Shaykh Fawzan said, commenting upon the ayah, purify it from what? Purify it from shirk and from innovations and false superstitions. Just as it is also to be purified from an-najasat wal-qadurat. Just as it is to be purified also from impurities and filthy things. So he's saying, he the Most High, لا تدعو, do not call upon, do not invoke. Shaykh Fawzan said, the لا here, لا تدعو. The لا is لا أناهيه. The no of prohibition. The no showing a forbiddance. And the tad'u is a present tense verb. فِي الْمُضَارِعِ مَجْزُوم بِلَا أُمْنَاهِيَ وَعَلَامَةُ جَزْمِهِ حَذْفُ النُّونَ. He gives an Arabic grammar point. He said tad'u is a present tense verb, which is majzoom, which could be commented to be in the jussive form, in the shortened jussive form. Because of the la, because of the prohibiting la. And the sign that it is majzoom in this jasid form is the removal of the noon. I mean, the normal word, as the Shaykh then explained, he said, because in origin it would be tad'oon. So the factor which makes it majzoom enters upon it, which is the la, do not, the prohibiting la. So it becomes la tad'oon. Do not invoke, do not call upon, do not invoke. Shaykh Fawzan said, so do not invoke, O people, anyone along with Allah. Do not supplicate for help from anyone along with Allah, such as saying, Ya Allah, Ya Muhammad. Such as saying, O Allah, O Muhammad. Ya Allah, Ya Abdul Qadir. O Allah, O Abdul Qadir. Or saying, Ya Abdul Qadir, Ya Muhammad. Or saying, O Abdul Qadir, O Muhammad. All these being phrases calling for help. Don't say any of these phrases. Or the like of that. Because Allah is not pleased with that. And He will not accept it. And His saying, He the Most High, Ahadan. La tad'u ma'allahi ahadan. Literally, ahadan, anyone. Shaykh al-Azan said, bring me another grammar point. He said, this word ahadan is nakira fi siyaqin nahi. Fata'ummu kulla ahadin. The Shaykh said, this word ahadan is indefinite form in the context of a prohibition. So therefore, it is general to everyone. This is an Arabic grammar point, that a word which is an indefinite form, if a prohibition enters upon it, then that word is general to whatever it covers. So the Shaykh said, so here meaning, anyone, do not invoke anyone at all. The Shaykh said, no one is accepted, neither any angel drawn close, nor any prophet sent, nor any idol, nor any object of worship, nor any grave, nor any sheikh, nor any wali, beloved servant of Allah, nor any living person, nor any dead person, no matter who it is. It is general. The prohibition here is general. La tad'u ma'allahi ahadan. Do not invoke anyone along with Allah. Shaykh Fawzan said, so it is general, covering everyone who is called upon besides Allah. فَلَا تَدْعُوا مَعَ اللَّهِ أَحَدًا. So do not call upon, do not invoke anyone along with Allah. The ayah from Surah Al-Jinn, 18th ayah. Ayah of the text. So this ayah shows that ibadah, that worship, will not benefit except with tawheed. Except that the person is upon tawheed, the worship of Allah alone. And that if shirk is mixed with it, if shirk is mixed with the ibadah, with worship, then it becomes null and void. And it will be an affliction for the person. Then He the Most High said, وَأَنَّ الْمَسَاجِدَ لِلَّهِ. The explanation, and the places of prayer are for Allah. Shaykh Fawzan said, it is obligatory that they be built khalisa, purely and sincerely, that the intention of the one building them should not be a riya, to show off, or a sum'a, to be heard of, or takhleed al-dhikr, or to be remembered, as they say, or to be just atharan islamiyya, or to be just Islamic antiquities. All of this is futile. In those who build mosques, their intention should not be any of these things. Mosques and masajid should be built for ibadah, for worship, and with the intention of worship. So he mentions two things here. They should be built for the purpose of the performance of worship, ibadah, and they should be built with the intention of worship. And the intention in them should be purely and sincerely, for Allah the Mighty and Majestic. And also, they should be built from good and pure earnings. They should not be built from forbidden earnings. Because Allah the Mighty and Majestic, or they said, because they are for Allah, they should not be built from forbidden earnings. Because they are for Allah the Mighty and Majestic. And إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَقْبَلُ إِلَّا طَيِّبًا. And Allah, as occurs in the hadith, Allah does not accept except what is good and pure. And in a footnote here, they mention this hadith, as reported by Muslim, hadith 1015, from a hadith of Abu Huraira, radiallahu anhu. With the wording that Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ طَيِّبٌ لَا يَقْبَلُ إِلَّا طَيِّبًا. To the end of the hadith. Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, O mankind, Allah is طَيِّب, Allah is pure. He does not accept except what is good and pure. Sheikh Farzan said in the explanation, So the mosques are to be built from lawful spending, and the intention of their builders is to be khalisa, is that it is to be done purely and sincerely seeking the face of Allah the Mighty and Majestic. He should not intend by building it to obtain praise from the people, or to be remembered, or for show, or to be heard of. Because building the mosques is ibadah, is worship. And worship, it is obligatory that it should be done purely and sincerely for Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. And that's where Sheikh Fawzan ends explanation on that point. And just a side point before moving on, then again, Sheikh Ubaid al-Jabiri, hafidhullah, he said with regard to the ayah, with regard to the part of the ayah, فَلَا تَدْعُوا مَعَ اللَّهِ أَحَدًا. So do not call upon, do not make dua, do not invoke anyone along with Allah. Sheikh Ubaid said, this is a prohibition of shirk in general, and of making dua to anyone along with Allah in particular. And he makes the point, because dua is ibadah, as he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said. Indicating the two meanings, the ayah forbids dua, making dua. As the people of knowledge mentioned, as will come in the book as well, dua is of two kinds, dua'u mas'ala and dua'u ibadah. And both of them fall under this ayah, both are prohibited. The dua of making a request, making supplication, and the dua of, which is an act of worship done, seeking with an inherent seeking of reward and seeking to avoid punishment. So both are forbidden by the ayah. The invoking, that is, calling upon supplication, calling upon Allah, and worship. That's why you find many of the explainers, like Al-Tabari and others from the Salaf before, when they mention the explanation of the ayah, they mention it means do not worship anyone along with Allah. That's what they say. Then comes the next point, the third point of this second treatise, to which Sheikh Al-Fawzan gives a small heading, or this explanation of Sheikh Al-Fawzan gives a small heading, Al-Wala wal-Bara'. Alliance and association. Alliance and association. Al-Wala wal-Bara'. Then he brings the text, the saying of Shaykh al-Islam, Ibn Abdul Wahhab, bringing the third matter of these three, which is obligatory upon us to know and act upon. He said, Al-Thalithatu. It's been on page 60 of the Lebanese edition. Al-Thalithatu. Anna man ata'a al-Rasul wa wahhad Allah la yajuzu lahu موالات من حاد الله ورسوله ولو كان أقرب قريب. The third, that whoever obeys the Messenger and singles out Allah, then it is not permissible for him to love and ally himself with those who oppose Allah and His Messenger, even if they be those most closely related to him. Sheikh Fawzan said in explanation, it is not permissible for those who do that, in what preceded, those who obey the Messenger, single out Allah, it's not permissible for them to have mu'alat of those who oppose Allah and His Messenger. Sheikh said, it is not permissible for those who do that to have mu'alat, to have love and alliance to those who oppose Allah and His Messenger, even if they be those most closely related to Him. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, this is the matter of al-wala wal-bara'. This is the matter of alliance and association. And it follows on from Tawheed, from the rights of Tawheed, min huquqi Tawheed al-wala wal-bara'. He said, min huquqi Tawheed al-wala li-awliya'i Allahi wal-bara' min a'da'i Allah. He said, from the rights of Tawheed is to have love and alliance for the awliya, the beloved servants of Allah, and to have bara, disassociation from the enemies of Allah. And the words al-mu'alat and al-wala have one and the same meaning. Both these words are the same meaning. Al-mu'alat and al-wala, they mean the same. And al-wala means, and then he gives the three meanings which are covered by this term al-wala, love and alliance and so on. This word al-wala, he explains it. He said, al-wala, it means, mention the first one, al-mahabba bil-qalb. It means having love in the heart. Then he mentions the second meaning covered by it. And it means al-munasara wal-mu'awana, and it means aiding and assisting. And it means, and he mentions the third meaning covered by it, al-irth wal-aql fi-diyat, and it means in the matter of inheriting and of payment of blood monies. What's meant by diyat, meaning blood monies, the aql, payment of blood monies for accidental killing. You accidentally kill someone, then you have to pay a diya, an amount of blood money for that. So this term wala, it covers all of those. Having love in the heart, and aiding and assisting, and inheritance, and payment of blood monies. Sheikh Fawzan said, so the Muslim, he does this matter, he yuwali, he has wala, he loves and has alliance for the beloved servants of Allah, for the awliya of Allah. Meaning that he restricts his love to those who are beloved servants of Allah, beloved and obedient servants of Allah, and he aids them. So the Muslim is with the Muslims. They are allies to each other. Just as He, the Most High, said, وَأُولُوا الْأَرْحَامِ بَعْضُهُمْ أَوْلَى بِبَعْضٍ فِي كِتَابِ اللَّهِ Surah Al-Anfal, the 8th Surah, Ayah 75. With the explanation, and blood relations are more entitled to inheritance from each other, as decreed by Allah. Sheikh Fawzan said, so payment of blood monies for accidental killing occurs between the Muslims, and it is what is called at-takaful, mutual responsibility. All of this enters into this matter of wala, alliance. So there is no wala, there is no alliance between a Muslim and a kafir, a Muslim and an unbeliever. I mean, whatever is called by the term wala here, it applies between the Muslims. He said, so there is no wala, there is no alliance between a Muslim and a kafir, an unbeliever. and love and aiding and inheriting and payment of blood money and guardianship in marriage and guardianship in legal matters and so on. This does not occur between a Muslim and an unbeliever. It does not occur between a Muslim and a kafir, a Muslim and a disbeliever. Rather, this is between the Muslims. Because of his saying, He the Most High, وَلَنْ يَجْعَلَ اللَّهُ لِلْكَافِرِينَ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ سَبِيلًا Surah An-Nisa, the 4th Surah, Ayah 141. With the explanation, And Allah will never give a way to the unbelievers over the believers. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, So it is obligatory that the believers, people of Iman, are distinguished from the disbelievers. So it is not permissible for one who singles out Allah and obeys the Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to have mu'alat, love and alliance with those who oppose Allah. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan explains what is meant by those who oppose Allah, al-muhadda. He said, al-muhadda, opposing, means that the person is upon one side, and Allah and His Messenger and the believers are on the other side. And those who oppose are upon the side of the unbelievers in this opposition. This is opposition. This is what opposition is, being on the side of the unbelievers against Allah and His Messenger and the believers. Then Shaykh Fawzan said, He's saying, وَلَوْ كَانَ أَقْرَبَ قَرِيبٌ Even if that person is the most closely related to him. Shaykh Fawzan said, meaning in lineage. So if your close relative is one who opposes Allah and His Messenger, then it is obligatory upon you to oppose him and to cut off from him. And whoever is a wali, whoever is an obedient servant of Allah and His Messenger, or whoever is an obedient servant of Allah and an ally to His Messenger, then it is obligatory upon you that you should love him and have alliance with him, even if he be far removed from you in lineage, even if he be a non-Arab or a black person or a white person or a red person. It is obligatory upon you to have wala for him, love and alliance for him, and that you love him. Whether he is from your land, or whether he is from the farthest place in the east, or the farthest place in the west, He the Most High said, وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتُ بَعْضُهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ بَعْضٍ Surah of Tawbah, the 9th Surah, Ayah 71. With the explanation, And the believing men and the believing women are friends and allies to each other. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, meaning, between them, there is mahabba, love, and at-tanasur, and help, mutual help, and at-ta'awun, and mutual aid. And between them there is ulfa, there is to be ulfa, affection. This is between the mu'mineen, between the believers. And then the Imam, Shaykh al-Islam, he goes on to mention the evidence for it, and we'll leave that till next time, inshallah. Any points of clarification?
I wanted to know concerning the inheritance. So the Muslim does not inherit from the non-Muslim. Is it also the non-Muslim does not inherit from the Muslim, and the Muslim does not inherit from the non-Muslim?
Yeah, both. The narration: the Muslim does not inherit from the non-Muslim, and non-Muslim does not inherit from the Muslim. The Muslim does not inherit from the unbeliever, and the believer does not inherit from the Muslim. Okay. In inheritance, we're after. Inheritance doesn't apply. The laws of inheritance do not apply in that case. As for bequests, and bequests, as people of knowledge make clear, bequests are something different. A person writes a request, this amount of my money goes to such and such person, that's a different matter. That's not inheritance.
Yeah.
Yeah, inheritance means mirath, the laws of inheritance. That one half goes to this person, and one third goes to this person, one quarter goes to this person, unless this is the case, then it's one eighth. Those set laws and set divisions, that's mirath, that's inheritance.
Okay. About the issue of wala and bara, what is the proper behavior to have towards people of bid'ah?
People of bid'ah, with regard to people of bid'ah, then as proceeded many times, and with regard to the people of the sunnah, then the people of the sunnah, they cut off from those of people of innovation. People of bid'ah, we cut off from them. As occurred in the last book we went through, Lum'atul Iqtiqad, then we do Hajr, we perform Hajr. We abandon and boycott the people of innovation. People of sunnah, they boycott the people of innovation.
Another question concerning: is there something like, for instance, even though for the converted people, for instance, maybe their parents or their brothers and sisters, they are non-Muslims, so we have still some kind of love for them. But is this love? Which love is haram and which is? Because I think there is also some kind of natural.
With regard to the matter of natural, a person having natural love for his natural mother, even though she has not entered into Islam, and this is a different matter, which the people of knowledge can deal with, and something with regard to the matter of how we deal with the disbelievers, the matter we don't have alliance for them and we don't have muhabbah, we don't have love for them, then how do we deal with them? Then this is something that occurs in the next part of the book, inshallah. We should take it next week, inshallah. Some of those matters are dealt with, inshallah, next time, inshallah. Yeah. Inshallah. Next lesson, next Monday, inshallah. Not Thursday. Next Monday, inshallah. This lesson, three principles, will be at 8 o'clock, inshallah. Still before Maghrib, but 8 o'clock, inshallah. Subhanallah, wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Thank you.